The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
Cultivating an Islamic identity has been our ongoing topic. We've been looking at the components of an Islamic identity, starting off with understanding what the I is inside of me, traveling towards the power of thoughts, and yesterday we talked about the fact that the Islamic identity is a mind, body, and soul reality. And my entire purpose last night was this idea that we cannot simply ignore that dimension of the deen that does ask us to live a physically enabled life, meaning that how we dress and what we wear and what we eat and how we live a physical life in this world is all part and parcel of this identity. And we move on from this discussion on the components of the identity, and today and tomorrow, maybe even the next day, we look at the barriers. Theoretically, it sounds great. Right? On paper now, for the past six lectures, it's all kind of been theory. But on the ground, and a lot of my parents can attest to that, who have younger kids now, entering those teenage years now, and trying to kind of inject this Islamic pride inside of them, is a challenge. There's fear, a little bit of anxiety, there's a lot of worry now, and as a father of three, of course, I'm with you as well. My eldest being 13, my youngest being 6, it's a challenge. And to my young guys who are right now listening to me, late teens, early 20s, mid-20s, it's one thing that I want to mention right off the bat in the beginning, and there might be a lot of you right now who are on the fence, who perhaps maybe don't believe you have all the tools, the courage, to be able to do what I'm asking myself and all of you to do, and that is to really bring home a solid, strong Islamic identity. Let me take you through a little bit of history in the beginning. Inshallah, we'll get to the first barrier on this path. I have an immense affinity towards young people. I'm inspired by them. I find that individuals who are fighting the fight on the ground today to be incredible. Sometimes they'll slip, sometimes they'll fall, sometimes they'll have days and weeks where they're confused. But this dismissal sometimes that we have as a community, as a generation of today's youth, as I mentioned before, Maghrib in Pickering, the idea that, you know, the entire generation is a waste now, these guys are useless, blah, 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 I don't share in that discussion. Because it's my phone that blows up, right? It's the talks I have with a 16-year-old who's trying to understand God. And to the point where, you know, on the other side of the phone now, there's tears that I want to believe in God, but it just doesn't make sense to me. This portion, that dimension, this discussion. And this fight that they're fighting is that they want to avoid inheriting the religion from mom and dad. They're tired of praying because dad says so. They're tired of coming to the mosque because they're dragged here. It has to come from within, and they want it to come within, but sometimes they're bound by their own principles. This blind faith that they refer to, that doesn't sit well with them. And we know from history that once a young person accepts the truth, that's it. They will work very hard now to preserve that truth. Again, I mentioned this a couple of nights ago. To me, the most powerful stories in the Quran is that of Nabi Musa. His entire story is filled with lessons that apply, I think, to us today. To me, one of the most powerful scenes from the story of Nabi Musa is probably his most famous moment, where he defeats the magicians of Pharaoh. These vetted magicians that he searched Egypt up and down, very confidently now, to bring down Musa, alayhi salam. As you know, didn't happen. Nabi Musa now defeated them in front of all of Egypt. That's not the point that gets me. The point that gets me is that when they were able to see the reality and the truth, nothing mattered at that moment. It's incredible. Here they were, the people of Egypt, that were frightened by Pharaoh, were controlled by Pharaoh. This is a man who not only would control everything about them to the point where he would even dictate to them who to worship. If you want to worship somebody, if you want to see who's worthy of worship, there's nobody better than me, Pharaoh would say. So something as private as worship even, he would hijack, oppress them, rule them using fear. And so any sort of even a glance towards Pharaoh, nobody would do it. And here you have the biggest day of the year in Egypt, the day where everyone comes out, watching this unfold. These seven, I believe, the hadith says, magicians, saw what they saw, and on the spot with Pharaoh sitting on his throne in front of his own people, saying that we now believe in the Rabb of Musa. That's not even the part that gets me. The part that gets me is that Pharaoh becomes livid. He just loses himself. Imagine now the embarrassment. He was convinced, the way he even attended that event, his throne was draped in jewels and diamonds. He himself was draped from head to toe. This was a man who was about to celebrate his biggest defeat of Musa. And it didn't work out like that. He was a favorite. Supposed to sweep Musa in four games. It didn't happen. Instead, the underdog won. And his anger now, to the point where the Quran captures this, says, look, I'm going to torture you. And the way that, and I don't mean to be, you know, graphic, but the way that Fir'aun would torture individuals sometimes, cut one limb of one side and the other limb of the other side. Right arm, left leg. Left arm, right leg. Tie him to a tree, the trunk of a tree, let them bleed out. That's cruelty. And when they were threatened with that, it didn't shake them. You do whatever you want to us, they would say. To who? To Fir'aun. But you can't make us unsee what we saw. You can't take the belief away from us. No longer are we ignorant. Are we ghafil? Are we heedless? Now we know. And once we know, we can't unknow. These were young individuals. And I see a dimension of that in today's youth as well. They're not all is lost. Yes, I know there is concern, and there should be, but there was always concern. When I was growing up in this city, 14, 15, there's lots of concern back then. We should never be not concerned. We'll let our guard go down. But when you look at historically, very quickly in the beginning of tonight's lecture, when you look at historically, you look at three major events in Islamic history. One, of course, was the establishment of Islam by the Prophet of Allah in Mecca and Medina. One, of course, was this commemoration, the days of Ashura. And one will be the arrival of our Imam. And the one common denominator in all three of them are the young. The Prophet of Allah would give very difficult responsibilities to young people. And back then, and it still kind of holds true today, back then the culture was, if you were older, a little bit of whiteness in your beard, you were wiser. If you were younger, you were a little bit foolish. And you couldn't be trusted. Right? So the known sort of custom was that if you need something done properly, you have to ask the elders.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Hali Hakim Mati شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.